Well, Scott Morrison can expect the red carpet treatment when he arrives today in Washington on the first official state visit by an Australian Prime Minister since John Howard in 2006. He's only the second foreign leader during the Trump presidency to receive the rare honour of a state dinner. Dr. Michael Fullilove is the Executive Director of the Lowy Institute. He's in Washington right now where he'll address the Brookings Institution tomorrow. I spoke with him earlier this morning.
Good morning.
A state dinner is a rare honour. Why has the Trump administration decided to bestow this on Scott Morrison?
I think it's a combination of things. I think that Australia is popular in Washington. The administration is keen to show that Mr. Trump can get on with leaders, indeed can get on with Australian prime ministers. But also I think Mr. Trump is predisposed to like a leader like Mr. Morrison because he likes conservatives, he likes winners, and he likes people who like him. So all the stars are aligned, I think, in this case.
And so what's the pitch from Scott Morrison to the US president then?
Well, I think there's an opportunity for Mr. Morrison because his relationship with Mr. Trump has got off on the right foot, unlike his predecessors, which got off on the wrong foot. And so I think he would be looking to establish a positive relationship with the president. It's better to have good relations with the president than to have bad relations with the president. And if he can build on the beginnings of the good relationship, then he may well end up being one of the few Western Democratic leaders who have a good relationship with the president because he's not friends with many Democratic leaders. So I think Mr. Morrison won't be asking for something, which I think was Mr. Turnbull's mistake in that infamous phone call. I think he'll be nice to Mr. Trump and he'll focus on establishing a positive relationship.
The Washington that you have arrived in now, the Washington that Scott Morrison is arriving in, is a very different place. How do you describe it today compared with what, you know, previous prime ministers would have seen when they got there?
Well, it is so, Washington these days is so focused on the president, and not only because he's stripped out so many advisors in the National Security Council and so on, but because by the force of his personality, he dominates American politics. And every day, everybody else is just dancing to the president's tune. So today, people are focused on the appointment of a new national security advisor after the last national security advisor was sacked by tweet last week. Now, you ask about what's normal. In a normal administration, sacking a national security advisor by Twitter would be an historical low point. But in this administration, that's just any given Tuesday, basically. So the system is unpredictable and it's wholly focused on the president, who's in a monologue we can read second by second in his Twitter feed.
And so obviously Australia has committed to joining this US-led mission in the Strait of Hormuz, and that would be one of the things that's front of mind, particularly this week in Washington, I would imagine. Does that give Scott Morrison a bit of added leverage going into any discussions with the US?
I think it does, and that's probably why they announced it in advance of the visit. Of course, because Mr. Trump is so unpredictable, it sometimes doesn't matter how much leverage you go into the meeting with him, because anyone can get burned in a meeting with President Trump. And so even though I think this visit is well advised on Mr. Morrison's case, I think he has to be careful because foreign leaders have found whether they are sycophantic, like Prime Minister May, or whether they're standoffish, like Chancellor Merkel of Germany, if you run into President Trump on the wrong day, he can damage you. And I guess the other thing Mr. Morrison has to keep in mind is that President Trump is very unpopular with Australians. I mean, the Lowy Institute's polling shows that only one in four Australians trust him. Two-thirds of Australians think that President Trump has weakened the alliance. So these are all the elements that Mr. Morrison has to balance up. In the end, the Americans want this to be a nice visit. So I don't think they're going to put difficult asks on Mr. Morrison. They want to make nice. That's why they're rolling out the red carpet, literally as well as figuratively.
I suppose there's things that
we don't necessarily often hear Scott Morrison talking about. But given that there are some Australians detained in Iran right now, given the situation in the Gulf with regards to Saudi Arabia and oil fields, is our relatively new Prime Minister going to have to wade a bit more heavily into foreign policy areas than what he perhaps does on a day-to-day basis?
I think with President Trump, it's all about the personal relationship. So I think Mr. Morrison will be well briefed on foreign policy. He's proved relatively adroit on foreign policy in the first few months since his re-election. But really, it's about the personal relationship. It's about emphasising what is in common, but at the same time, avoiding the traps. Avoiding traps like trade. I mean, Mr. Morrison won't want to talk too much about China, for example, because he knows that there are downsides in talking too much about China when you're in Washington. So he needs to avoid those pitfalls, but at the same time, just try to kick off a nice relationship with the president.
And do you think that the president sees the Australian sort of foreign policy outlook in the same way that someone like Mike Pompeo does? There's that quote that, you know, we've talked about a lot here. You can have your cheap soybeans or you can have your security. Is that the way that Trump views Australia? You've got to choose between America and China.
I haven't seen evidence of that. I think that is an increasing view in the American deep state, that Australia has played both sides of this, but ultimately we have to choose. But Donald Trump is not part of the deep state, famously, and I don't think he's really that focused on strategic competition with China. I think the trade war with China is really less about China in Donald Trump's mind and more about trade. So I would be surprised if Mr. Trump pushes Morrison heavily on the choice, because he's not really interested in those long-term strategic interests in the way that normal presidents are. He's interested in being seen to win. He likes people who flatter him. He likes people who like him. He's driven by those kinds of motivations, I think, more than sort of deep, long-term views on the world.
And so, in the end, is there anything that Scott Morrison, in your view, can say to him that has any influence, any bearing on the trade war?
I think there's more downside than upside in going to the president's house and lecturing him on trade, which is his the third rail for President Trump. But that doesn't let the Prime Minister off the hook in the medium term and the long term. And, you know, there are a lot of President Trump's foreign policy values that are antithetical to Australia's foreign policy values, whether it's on trade, on alliances, on isolationism versus internationalism. And I hope that if the Prime Minister can establish a good relationship with the President, then over time he can nudge and he can influence the President, not only on Australia's core interests, but on the broader issue of having the kind of American leadership that we're used to and that we want to see in the world.
Dr. Michael Fuller-Love is the Executive Director of the Lowy Institute.